Hi there, this is Danielle Alessio welcoming you to episode number 3 of the Superhero Secrets podcast. Today is April 4th, and we're going to say screw following your passion. I'm going to give you a quick update on the cold water shower challenge, and then we're going to discuss passion and why the next time someone tells you to follow your passion, you should tell them they don't know what they're talking about, or tell them to take a hike. Okay, no, I'm just kidding, because saying either of those things is definitely not the best way to engage in any kind of conversation. But we're going to talk about that whole topic. First, our collective sip of our green smoothie. And today's is mustard greens, cucumber, pineapple, Meyer lemon, and ginger. I know some of you are making faces. I admit I went a little overboard with the mustard greens, so it's kind of like I'm drinking pepper today. It's a little rough, I admit. Truthfully, this is my second of the day though, because I just love those nutrients coursing through my body, and you should love them too. Seriously, have a green smoothie every day. It's just one little thing that you can do. All right, on we go. Week 1, day 4 of the cold water shower challenge. For those of you who listened in last week, you know that I started the cold water shower challenge on April 1st, and I seriously thought I was going to have a heart attack Monday morning. You know when your breath is just taken away when you jump in cold water? For sure you've had that experience, right? We've all had that at some point. Oh, but I have to tell you about my best cold water experience. I did the Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon in San Francisco a very long time ago. And for those of you who know that race, they take, I don't know, thousands of people. I think it's around 3,000 people out in a ferry, and they anchor just in front of Alcatraz Island. And then people jump out. At the time, it was 3 at a time every 3 seconds or something. You land in the cold water, you drop, I don't know, 10 to 15 feet, as I recall, into the freezing cold San Francisco Bay. I believe the water is typically around 50 degrees or so. I mean, honestly, my hands and my feet were blue the entire race. Even my face. I'm in photos. The race photos have me with this purpley blue face. Really did not make for good pictures, that's for sure. But that's how the shower felt Monday morning. But by Tuesday, interestingly, I was already realizing, you know, this is not so bad. And it's now Thursday, and I think I'm already addicted to the cold shower. I don't know why some things are such a big deal, and then we do them, and they're really not so bad. Maybe you think the cold water shower challenge is kind of a stupid example, and that's okay. But you can take the same principle and apply it to something that you don't think is silly. Another example, a few weeks ago, I had to discuss a sensitive matter with my partner, Dan, and I was mildly stressed about it. Not stressed, but you know how you feel when you have to have a conversation that you'd rather not have. I know I'm not alone. At least I hope I'm not. Anyway, we ended up having a fantastic conversation. So seek an example in your life where you're thinking about something that scares you and do it anyway. And see if it's as bad as you think it's going to be. And if it is, I'm really sorry. But then there is the expression, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. So there you go. And if you find it isn't as bad, then congratulations. I'm totally proud of you. I'm proud of you either way, really. But let me know if you do that. I'd really love to know. I find it amazing, very cool, very inspiring when people do things that they thought would be hard and then they just crush it. So let me know. On to the topic of the day, passion, and why you should not entertain people who talk about follow your passion. I've always hated that expression. Honestly, I have. Even when I quit my job and people mistook my move for following my passion. It's true that I started with areas in which I was intensely interested in, which was health and nutrition. Ultimately, what it really became was human behavior and other related topics. I don't want to get off topic by going deeper into that. I will another time. But the point is, many of us don't really know what those passions are until we take action. For example, a lot of people think they know their passion and then they start really getting into it and realize, well, maybe I'm not as passionate about it as I thought I was. I know when I started university, I was sure I was going to be an archaeologist, and I slept through my first anthropology class. Clearly, anthropology and archaeology was not my passion. Other times, you start exploring a particular area that you're curious about, and as time goes on, you develop an expertise and realize, this is what I'm passionate about. Action will pretty much always lead you to a better answer. And another example from my own life, and then we'll go deeper into the matter. When I was a lawyer, I knew at some point I was going to want to change careers. After graduating with a law degree and an MBA, I had planned to work in law for, I had expected I'll be a lawyer for 5 years before doing something else. At the time, it was odd because most of my colleagues with a dual degree were going into business. But then again, that was almost 2 decades ago. Oh my God. Anyway, I ended up in law for 12 years, much longer than I expected. And part of why it was longer was because I was relying on passion to lead me. And that was dangerous because my approach to passion at the time was, oh, it'll hit me. I should know what it is. I had figured if I was going to leave a job that I really loved, I should leave for something else that I really, really loved, that I was passionate about. And I sat there waiting for the answer to fall in my lap. It's like the perfect job or spouse is suddenly going to appear from a genie bottle or something. You need to go find those things. We all need to go find those things. Just like we need to find our passions. Thankfully, I realized that and I made action my focus rather than finding my passion. I should have taken the hint the universe was sending me when I would internally cringe every time I heard someone talk about following their passion. I've always been that way. You can be passionate about something. Say you like whatever, fitness or food or science fiction or theater. But you think, okay, am I really passionate about this particular topic? Well, dive into the short list and figure out what is going to truly hold your interest. And as you develop that expertise in something that is holding your interest, that usually leads to a high level of proficiency or mastery, as a lot of people like to call it. And doesn't that then fuel the passion? Let's use golf as an example. I know a lot of people like golf. A lot of people hate golf, but a lot of people like it. Do you know anyone who is passionate about golf and is a bad golfer? Can you be passionate about something that you suck at? I don't know, but as I've thought about this, I can honestly say I don't think I know someone who is passionate about golf and is a bad golfer. Maybe there's a time at which they're bad, but that extreme interest leads them to continue to practice. So they develop a level of mastery. And I don't think you need to be a professional golfer to have a level of mastery. But that's then what fuels that passion. Tom Bilyeu has an equation for passion, and that is fascination plus mastery equals passion. Fascination plus mastery equals passion. It's interesting to think about. Maybe you're someone who is saying, I'm passionate about golf, or whatever it is for you, but I still suck. And I would ask you, well, how often do you play? If you're only playing a few weekends of the summer, you may love it, but you're probably not passionate about it. Because I think if you were passionate about golf or whatever that thing is for you, then you would eventually get good at it. I know golf is especially a long process. By the way, I started taking golf lessons a few summers ago, and then I abandoned it because it just took up too much time. And even though I really liked it, it was just, you know, I took lessons and there were times when I was actually at the driving range 3 or 4 times a week. But was that passion? Clearly, no. If I was passionate, I probably would have kept up the lessons and I would have been practicing every day. Although I do have to tell you, I actually won something. I was in this little learn to golf clinic and we had this driving competition. And with my 8-iron, because that's the only club I actually got comfortable with, I won the driving competition. It wasn't even close. There were only, say, 15 people or so, but I had stepped up for my turn, got my ball ready, and my drive was beautiful. It literally came within 10 feet of the flag that we were going for. So everyone was like cheering and my instructor was so proud, but he said, okay, take another shot. So I got my ball ready again and I literally made the exact same shot. It was truly my proudest moment in golf. My dad and my uncles would be so proud. I won a free round of golf, which I then never used because I was too afraid to actually get on the course. My dad was driving me nuts all summer because he'd ask if I was practicing and I'd say, yep, I've been to the driving range all week. And he's like, Daniela, you have to get on the course. I'd always say, I wasn't ready. I'm not ready, Dad. I think golf is amazing, but clearly golf is not my passion. I'm going to express this principle as well via Mike Rowe. He's the Dirty Truth guy who is very entertaining. I saw this pretty hysterical 5-minute video by him, and he talks about persistence and passion and staying the course. His discussion absolutely does not take anything away from the value of persistence, nor do I want to take anything away from that vital quality of persistence. But as Mike Rowe says, staying the course only makes sense if you're headed in a sensible direction. And I think if you really think about it, just as both Mike Rowe and Tom Bilyeu have expressed in their very unique ways, but ultimately very similar ways, you can't be truly passionate without mastery. I'm not purporting to say what that level of mastery is. I don't know. I don't know what would qualify. It seems pretty clear, though, that it needs to be there. And really, mastery is mastery. You're either a master or you're not, I guess, right? That's just my take. We could talk about this for hours. Here's another take I have. Perhaps it can be said to conflict with Tony Robbins, and who am I to disagree with Tony Robbins? Then again, I'm a human being. Why can't I? Tony Robbins says, before people get to how, they have to figure out their why. It's their why that will drive the behavior in a direction that they want to go. But here's my big problem with that. Just like people often sit there looking for their passion, I've also seen and experienced myself that we sit there looking for our big why as well. Ultimately, we need to create our passion, just like we need to create our big why. Both of those things are fueled by action. So, my friends, take action to create your passion, either through experimentation initially and then through mastery. See what comes of it. Action will most certainly lead to your real passion, which might even be something that you didn't expect. I'm going to end with a very powerful quote by Mike Rowe, and it's powerful because I think there's far more to it than meets the eye. I guess that's characteristic of all good quotes, though, of course. Never follow your passion, but always take it with you. There's the quote. Never follow your passion, but always take it with you. All right, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm sure this topic will come up again, but for now, become passionate about taking action, preferably action in a sensible direction. Let your superhero self shine, and I will talk to you all next week. Take care.